First of all, just a quick word about the flu. Just visited with Dr. Monroe again. At this point, I think you know, still just one, and that rather old, confirmed case in the state. At this point, less than a handful of others being checked on, but we do expect more cases. But at the moment, just one confirmed and just a few samples being looked at the CDC. The other thing that's important is that so far these cases are severity one. It's on a 5-point scale. So they are very mild at this point. As you know, the one case we had, the young person got over the event without any incident, without any medication. So we are watching it very carefully, and we'll take the necessary steps. But at the same time, people should be reassured that for the moment we have a manageable situation, and we'll keep you posted. So now on to other matters. The second to last thing I wanted to see happen in this legislature was a special session. The last thing was a fiscal disaster leading to a huge tax increase on Hoosier families. Speaker Bauer said to me yesterday morning, "We come from different worlds." And I thought to myself, that's true. I come from the real world. And in the real world, when your income goes down, you lower your spending, you don't raise it. At this point, the best thing is for the legislators to all go home, get away from the special interests, and listen to some real taxpayers. We can all watch real revenue receipts for a while longer. If a miracle turnaround should suddenly occur, we'll take a fresh look at all their spending demands. If the current erosion continues, the legislators can take a fresh look at reality and join us in writing a budget Hoosier families can afford. Now let me just deal with a couple facts and then take your questions. Fact one, it is utterly false, not 90, 92, 95, or 99, but 100% false that I ever endorsed the budget yesterday. And everyone knows it except apparently the speaker. If you don't want to believe the witnesses to the only conversation we had, me, Becky, Earl, Ryan, Kitchell for starters, you can ask Dave Long, or, you know, never under any circumstances. And you know this too. This is the chart I used last Friday and said that both budgets on offer at that time were not acceptable. The only thing that happened from then to last night is it got worse. Spending in fiscal 09 about there. They would raise it about 3.5%. Then they added tens of millions of dollars to 10 and to 11, and they booked some pork projects that did not show in this budget that would have raised it further out to 12. So unfortunately, the spending, which was already too high for me to endorse, got worse. Meanwhile, as we said last Friday, it is based on a revenue line which is fictional, and we already know it. We have, today's the last day of April. Receipts through 29 days are 20% below last year, or over $200 million. So in 1 month already, receipts are somewhere in here. We have 26 months left to go before the end of this budget cycle. And so reality, it's not a difference of opinion, it's not a battle of the estimators. Reality is this budget was built on pretense. We already are here and we are headed south. We will be fortunate if revenues fall to lower than this blue line by the end of June, and very fortunate if the forecast is correct and they begin to rise. So with every one benefit of taking a breather here is with every passing day, this fiction will become more and more clear. And we cannot build a budget on fiction. This budget had lots of other flaws. Its charter school legislation is disastrous as educational policy, destructive of the children's futures in this state who are most at risk, and by the way, would cost this state perhaps hundreds of millions of dollars. We would be totally disqualified from the Race to the Top grants, and the federal government's very clear. The stimulus dollars we are counting on for next year in education be seriously at risk because of this very backwards policy, which President Obama is completely right to oppose. So, regrettably, this budget was utterly unacceptable all along, never had any other point of view, and it's a good thing that it failed, because we have plenty of time now to deal with reality and to take the kind of measures one takes. When one's revenue and income are dropping, one doesn't behave as though nothing is different. The legislature, I'm sorry to say, was behaving as though nothing is different, but everything is different. I have no idea, except because he had a list of suggestions from us that could have made it acceptable, and none of them, not one of them, appeared in the final budget.
When will you call a special session?
When I think they're ready to face reality.
Are you going to propose a budget as a starting point since they didn't get the job done?
It's possible. I mean, well, it will need to protect us against the evaporation of our surplus. Their budget would have destroyed the surplus within the budget window, appears clear from our revenue, and it would have created the cliff that I've been warning about since January. In fact, it would have made the cliffs higher, as I just illustrated. So we'll have to deal with those two problems. I said last Friday, the situation is no one's fault. It's not the Speaker's fault, it's not Senator Long or Kenley's fault, but it is reality, and we can't wish it away. How I wish that things were otherwise. But somebody has to speak the truth, and somebody has to represent the taxpayer.
Governor, are you going to sign the unemployment insurance legislation?
Yes. It's very imperfect. I think there were overclaims. It doesn't fix the problem, but it's some progress, and it begins to make a few reforms that I think will be helpful. It's not balanced, and that's too bad. It also acts as though nothing is different by leaving the third highest benefits in America untouched. Hoosier consumers cannot afford that, really, and over time that'll have to be addressed. It does address, however, I will say this on its behalf, it begins to address the unfairness between big businesses which have been cross-subsidized by small businesses for a long time. So it has lots of flaws, but I'm going to cite the UI bill as an example that we are always prepared to compromise and work together. And I mention all the defects I think it has as evidence for that. The budget had no redeeming features, and there just simply wasn't a middle ground to be found.
Well, in a special session, would you limit it to the budget, or are you open up, will there be other topics?
Well, I can't limit it, but the legislature can, and my sense is, you know, the budget is what we really have to do.
Would you like CIB?
Yeah, there should be a solution, of course, to that issue, and I'm very disappointed that they simply walked away from it instead of giving Marion County, Indianapolis, the tools necessary to deal with it.
The Speaker said you kept raising the bar on the budget in order to force.
Let me choose a wrong again. I mean, let me choose a polite word: prevarication, invention. Maybe hallucination. He's been under a lot of pressure. never deviated since January. You can ask anyone else but him, and I think they'll testify to the truth of that.
Are you disappointed that your fellow Republicans in the Senate passed this budget? And why the disconnect between you and the leadership there?
You'll have to ask them.
Are you disappointed?
I'm baffled. Well, yes. Again, I tried the route of being very flexible. You know, in this job, you know, you tend to get criticized no matter which direction you go. If you try to be prescriptive, then that goes too far. If you try to step back and let the legislature do its work, then sometimes you get attacked for that, too. But my preference is still that they decide where to restrain spending. But I'll be happy to engage further with them if that proves necessary. Let me just say, given what is happening to revenues, I don't think that there's any budget we have which will not see over the two-year period some significant erosion of our protective surplus. But that's the taxpayer's last defense against a tax hike, and I am determined not to see it obliterated. Sure. Well, we simply were informative with a monotonous message that we could not support a budget that did not give us the basis, either through restraint of spending or tools to deal with the revenue picture as it evolves. There was no restraint of spending. It grows. They have it growing 3.5% this year, 3% that year, and they've got a running start on the next budget. So there was no restraint of spending, and fewer tools than we have today in the executive branch to deal with shortfalls.
Did you ever give them a specific target for surplus? How much?
Well, we said it needed to be realistically on the order that it is today and with tools to try to make sure we could keep it there. And we didn't get either one. In other words, if they say they had a surplus of $1.3 billion, I guess they claim, it's fiction. We've already lost $200 million in 1 month with 26 months to go. And they know that. It's not a matter of opinion. And meanwhile, as I say, they were trying to take away the tools we have used. You'll remember that we adapted to an $800 million shortfall that we could see in December. It turned out to be more, but we adapted to that because we had the tools that governors have had in Indiana since at least the 80s. And we're going to need those going forward because this situation is still very hazardous.
Should you just wait until June so you have the latest? I mean, the data keeps changing. This is ever evolving. Should you wait as long as possible to get the most recent data, or should you just take care of it as soon as possible?
Well, maybe. I always believe in moving quickly on problems, but you raise an excellent point. As I said, with every passing day, the fiction of this budget will become more and more naked to the eye. It's $200 million off right now. Just wait a couple weeks, and it'll probably be worse. So we will learn more. But as I said, I think the right time for them to come back is when they're ready to face reality and not pretend we'll have revenues that we already know we won't have.
I just wanted to clarify the $200 million. Mm-hmm. You said we're $200 million off last year. What are we off the April 17th forecast?
$200 million. We are 20% year over year. We're down 20%. So, Nikki, thanks for the opportunity to clarify. The April forecast, go back and look at it, says that shows everything starting to get better starting in April. So we were 14% down in March. They said minus 8 in April, and they said May would be better than last year. In April, we are down 20, not minus 8, minus 20. The line is still headed down. So What do I think the chances that May will actually be better than May of 08? I think there's zero. And so that works its way back to Bill's question that I would hope that very quickly legislators would be willing to put down the pretense and deal with reality. But if not, maybe a few more weeks of reality will help them get there.
Mm-hmm. What did you accomplish?
Well, we had the school discipline bill, but I don't quarrel with your characterization.
Why do you think it happened this year? Because we're actually known for having a big success, I think, in every legislative session.
Well, the speaker killed a lot of it unilaterally, and that's, you know, just a fact of life. The only fact that matters, if he decides that local government reform is not worth the time, or that's that. You know, ditto for certain other of our, you could have gone further. Our automatic refund passed the Senate, died in the House. I don't quarrel with the characterization. Sure, I'm disappointed.
How are you going to proceed on the current check reforms from here on out? Can you do things administratively? Can you work through DLGF? Or are you going to give us a clue as to what direction you're going
to? Well, first answer is we'll have to come back. The major reforms will eventually require the legislative cooperation, so we'll certainly try again. There may be things we can do. I also say that here and there, I think in part assisted by property tax caps, we are seeing some local units begin to do some interesting, or at least talk about some interesting things, combinations and mergers and shared services and the kind of things that that really are the goal of the reforms. And we'll do all we can to assist and enable those things.
The self-improvement budget and maybe the CIP, are there other issues that you'd like to see addressed in the special session? Would you like to see this?
Well, no, I said earlier, and as I've said again for months, sure, that should be addressed, and I'm surprised that I didn't think that would be a hard thing for the legislature to do, to simply give a toolbox to Marion County, and I hope they'll rethink that. No, I think we ought to concentrate on the big issue facing the state. How do we protect our currently stable situation? How do we protect services and protect taxpayers? And it'll be believe me, in the current national environment, it'll be a great success for this General Assembly. They'll deserve a lot of praise. And they will distinguish themselves from states elsewhere if we can do that. So let's just, I think we should feel like they got a mulligan and got a chance to get it right.
Most lawmakers, or many of them, think the gambling issues will inevitably come up in a special session. They came up at the very end of the session, and the gambling interests are already working on what they'll do in a special session.
Yeah.
Are you concerned about that at all, and do you support anything about this?
I really don't. And, you know, here I want to give some credit to the speaker. He said it shouldn't come up, and as far as I can tell, he saw that it didn't. I think Senator Long feels the same. All they have to do, in fact, either one of them is enough. If they say anything like gambling is out of bounds, out of order in the special session, that's that. And I hope they will.
There's a lot of discussion of this 1.4 surplus. We cut 100 million governors on board.
Yeah.
Was that true or not? I mean, we heard a lot of talk about that yesterday as they tried to.
No, I never picked any number either for an exact ending point, except I would like it not to be smaller than today. I never picked a number like 100 million. Sure, it would have been at least a good start on the problem. I certainly never said where it should come from, education or somewhere else. You were here last Friday, and you know I said total flexibility as to what they do. But remember that any plan based on that green line is wrong by $200 million today, and tomorrow it's going to be more, and by the start of the budget cycle it's going to be wrong by about $400 million at least. So somebody's plan that says we'll have $1.2 billion or $3 billion is they're already talking about a drop to 800, and let's just hope it's not worse than that.
So those discussions are something they thought you would approve of, or something they came up on your own? It wasn't direction you gave to them specifically?
Well, would I have found those constructive steps? Sure. But I would have, they could have chosen some other means to get there. I want to go back again. The best outcome would have been for them to lower the red line to a point that protects taxpayers. If they could only get a certain distance, then they had to at least leave the tools that governors have had for decades so that we could take additional action. Things don't get better. But they spent more, not less, and gave us fewer tools, not the same. And that made what was unacceptable last Friday less acceptable.
Do you think you have any blame here or failure?
Say what?
Do you think you have any blame, sharing any blame with this bill?
You guys decide that, you know. I've taken a consistent position from day one. I've tried to be as flexible as possible, open to any idea except the obliteration of our protective reserves and the tax increase that would follow. And I think those were pretty minimal, and they were certainly consistent positions. But I'm sure there was something along the line I could have done better. But the line I wouldn't cross is the one that leads to more spending when revenue's going down and a huge tax increase, probably sooner rather than later.
I think most of us were your client.
Yeah.
And you repeatedly said you were making a veto threat, and in fact, kind of made fun of us for.
Yeah. Well, maybe so, Leslie. I don't like to deal in threats. I try to avoid characterizing things that way. I don't think I was at all unclear. I mean, come on. Everybody understood. We had a bottom line here. And it's been true since the State of the State speech and the presentation of the budget. It hasn't deviated at all. Now, maybe some people hoped it would and just were in denial about it, but, you know, maybe I should have used stronger language, but I was trying to be accommodating and respectful of legislative prerogatives when I said that. Maybe, back to Mary Beth's question, maybe it would have been more effective to be a little more blustery and threatening.
For logistical purposes, do you know at all how long it's going to take you to pick a date?
I really don't. I say I'm going to be taking the sentiment, talking to as many legislators as I can when I think they're ready to face reality, not write a budget built on fiction, but on the unfortunate reality that they didn't cause, but we have a duty to face up to, then we won't hesitate. If it were about something else, yes. But we may save $500 or $1,000 for every dollar that session costs. It'll be a great, believe me, compared to accepting any budget that we looked at in the last in the session so far, this would be the best return the taxpayers of Indiana ever got.
Sounds like you're expecting the old anecdote that governors always
did special sessions. You know, I really don't care. Listen, all that history will note or remember about this is the result. Did Indiana find a way in the toughest circumstances we've known to hold it together and protect taxpayers? Or did we go down the rat hole with so many other states and make a bad situation much worse on working families in Indiana? That's all that matters to me. And you all can decide later on who won, who lost, who was to blame, who wasn't.
Do you think it's going to be especially more difficult to get lawmakers to reach an agreement if finances keep going down? They're going to have to make tougher decisions.
Well, they're going to have to make tougher decisions. They can't behave as though nothing is different when everything is different. You know, that budget looks like revenues are growing, like it looks sort of like the last few years. There's not a state in America behaving that way. You know, I think, honestly, the fact that we have put Indiana in such solid condition is a danger right now, is a little bit of a menace, because it allows people to think, well, we got this big cushion, and we can just pretend that nothing is going on. In other states, they don't have that luxury. They have already, they're already broke and way in debt, and they can't pretend.
How would you describe Senator Kennedy's work in trying to put all this together? I'm sure there were frequent discussions.
I would say exhausting and sincere. He put a lot into it, but... Well, I don't have anything new to say, John, passed last Friday. I mean, I was always open to it under conditions that guarded against corruption. Well, again, the legislative leadership can decide what's in and out of bounds. But I'll just say this. Anything that can contribute to a pro-taxpayer result on the budget, I'm open to listening to. And that includes, you know, ulterior agendas that somebody might have out there.
When did you decide that a special session was the best option? Only yesterday or the month before yesterday?
Well, I was still hoping as of yesterday morning that they would make the kind of modifications that would allow us to finish up last night. As I just said here, the second to last thing I ever wanted was a special session. I really... I've always harbored the hope that I would spend my 8 years here, come and go, and we'd never have one. Well, the one thing that was less acceptable to me than that was a disastrous budget, and that's what we were left with last night.
When did you realize a special session was imminent? How long did you stay in the building? Did you watch?
Well, I was here till 1 o'clock in the morning. I didn't watch, but people told me I. It's not my favorite television. But I was here in the vain hope that that someone would suddenly say, "Okay, we get it," and so how about these changes? And but I guess it became pretty clear in the last few hours that that wasn't going to happen, and that none of our suggested improvements, none of them, zero, had been included, and that a miracle wasn't going to happen. So,
what were those suggested improvements?
No, I've already described it. You know, it could have been real adjustments in the spending line of almost any kind, the legislature preferred, and or the tools that the governors have had for decades, but as I've said before, the red line got worse. The spending went up, not down. The tools were limited, not preserved or strengthened, and so it all went in the wrong direction and left no choice.
Other than the capital improvements, higher education.
Yeah. Oh, they were going to, for example, we can save a lot of money in prescription drugs spending, but there was a blockade of that. There's one.
You talked about pushing things into the future. One of the separate bills that passed was pushing into the future a new division of the Court of Appeals. Do you think that's needed at a $2 or $3 million annual cost of taxpayer?
I don't know.
Lieutenant Governor, what did you think as you stood in the Senate and watched that?
Sort of surreal.
How so?
I thought it might be a good idea to walk away from it.
Is there, given what happened to your agenda, I think some people would say, well, then you were one of the big losers of this session. How do you turn that around? How do you become a big winner in a special session?
Look, Mary Beth, I've run my last election. I'm perfectly happy for y'all to write the scorecards, winners and losers. It really doesn't matter. I'm going to give you the exact same answers a minute ago. All that I think history will care about and all that I care about is a result here. And, I wish that we could have gotten to one last night. We'd feel good that the session was over, and maybe for a day someone would feel good that somebody wrote, well, you won. But guarantee you, within days, we'd feel terrible because we'd be headed into an abyss fiscally. And so really, that's all I'm interested in. And I'm happy to be written down as on the short end of things if we get to a result that is in the public interest of the state of Indiana.
I'm curious about the answer to Mary Beth's question, though, not in terms of the vanity thing,
yeah,
about how you're written up, but in terms of you weren't able to get what you believed was
yeah.
best for the state in the session. So how are you going to change things
mm-hmm.
so you can achieve what you want to achieve in the session?
Well, it's a fair question. You know, it's you know, perhaps I should have been more directive, perhaps I should have been harsher, perhaps I should have been more critical of the their plans as they move forward. I tried for an approach that was more collaborative and cooperative. Didn't work, so, well, I don't know. I'm hoping, again, that simply starting from reality will help a lot. Okay, thanks a lot.